In the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, our dear Heavenly Father, we are gathered here this morning before thy holy and undying word. We come from many different walks of life, many different situations in our lives, in our homes. We trust and we believe that you know what each and every one of us, what we are up against, what our difficulties and struggles are. We pray unto you, dear Father, that you would remember us personally, individually, so that we can continue to take the steps of faith toward heaven. We raise our humble prayers unto you, dear Father, for those that are close to us. They may be our parents, our spouses, our children, or our brothers and sisters, or they could be our close friends, those that are yet walking in the darkness of unbelief. Lead and guide them into thy kingdom so that they may also take part in this gift that your children have been gifted with into their hearts, the gift of living faith. A gift that is so great that it washes all sin away, and we can spend eternity with thee in heaven's glory. As we pause before thy word this morning, dear Father, we ask that you would open thy word. Grant us that portion that we need for this moment so that we can continue to journey with our brothers and sisters in faith. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thought I would read the Word of God as it is recorded in the first chapter of John, verses 43 through 51. And the words that we hear are in Jesus' name as follows. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and said unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him, of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Amen. This portion of Scripture that we heard, it is not one of the texts for this Sunday to consider, but it certainly it includes the thought of this Sunday, which is the theme for this Sunday, is that Jesus awakens faith. And I have sometimes wondered, when I search for a Bible portion when it is my time to serve, that where, how is that portion revealed to me where I will speak from? And I certainly don't have an answer for it, but first of all, naturally it helps to have a Bible due to our limited memory. We can't remember Bible portions by heart. At least I can't. So when I begin to page through the texts for that Sunday, or any portion in the Bible, some portions are opened more so than others. But there are also times when you read and you have an understanding of a certain sentence, maybe a word, that when you get up here, that it disappears. And there are many times that I have, on my way home or at home, sometimes right after coming down from this place, when I remembered that I didn't say something in particular that I was going to say. But in all this, we have to simply understand and believe that God opens His Word the way He wants His Word to be opened at a particular time. So in those times, I have tried to think of it in this way, that maybe that thought that I had that never was said, that I didn't remember, maybe it is for another time. So with that prayer, we will go through this portion that we read, that whatever God wants for our own portion at this moment, that He will give that unto us. And we know that God knows better what we need than we do. This read text comes in the very beginning of, or fairly close to the beginning of, Jesus' public ministry. He called His disciples one by one. There was no job interview, but Jesus simply looked into their hearts and saw whatever He needed to see, and He called them to follow Him. During the time that He did His public ministry, Jesus revealed the picture, or many pictures, of what kingdom of God is like. And most of you have heard the parable of the mustard seed, that is such a tiny little seed that you don't have to bring it too far out from our eyes, and you will not be able to see that seed. And then He painted a picture of how that mustard seed, how it begins to grow. It takes root, and it begins to prosper, growing into a plant that is nourished by water. And when this plant is being watered, it becomes a great big bush. I don't know exactly how big or how dense this bush is, but compared to that little seed that it received its start, it's many, many, many times bigger. Then it continues to grow, and it becomes large and provides food and shelter for animals, for little insects, for the birds, and even people consume it. So how exactly does this happen? How does it grow? And when does it grow? Jesus paints this picture of the kingdom of God. And my mind, I thought of how this bush just keeps growing from something very little. How does the kingdom of God grow? And when does it grow? This parable of the mustard seed is in one of the Gospels. I don't know exactly. I think it's in Matthew. But as I read through that parable, Matthew doesn't say, it doesn't explain exactly how the kingdom of God grows and when it grows and how big it will grow to be. It keeps this growth, the expansion, a mystery. Just within the past decade or so, we have been able to see, even though many that have been in the kingdom of God, they have fallen away from faith. Kingdom of God has grown in many different areas in the world. Not only is the kingdom of God growing here in the United States, but outside of our borders. And I think it would have been difficult for us to say before it happened that one seed of that mustard seed that was planted in those faraway countries, that there would be many, many believers in such places that we didn't think it was possible. We don't know exactly everything that led to the light of God, the candle that was brought to those places. What all had to take place in order for that to happen? We don't know exactly how the kingdom of God grows. And before it happened, we could not have said when it would happen. So even that, it is a mystery to us. But when it does happen, and however large it grows to be, we trust and we believe that that was God's plan It was supposed to happen in that way, just at that precise time. There are many accounts of people that have left the kingdom of God. And within 2 moments before their death, they have received the grace of repentance. And the kingdom of God grew by one soul that is ready for heaven. We don't know when those that are in the darkness of unbelief, when they are called into the kingdom of God. But we know that if they humble their hearts to believe, it was precisely the way our Heavenly Father knew that it was going to go. Jesus awakens faith. He has awakened faith in you that have received the grace of repentance from the world. You that have perhaps gone the way of a prodigal son or daughter. Maybe you have left the living faith. Jesus awakened your heart in a mysterious way. Maybe something in particular happened so that your hardened heart became soft. And able to receive the message of the gospel to yourself. Maybe you were born in an unbelieving home and raised in an unbelieving home. And in mysterious ways you were brought to the kingdom of God through maybe many different kinds of events. And you were able to own the message of the gospel for yourself. We that are believing, we that have been preserved in childhood faith, it is good for us to hear accounts and experiences of those who have been in unbelief and have been able to believe their sins forgiven and come back into the kingdom of God. There are times when we take this for granted and we don't realize the gift that we that have been preserved in childhood faith. You that have been born and raised in an unbelieving home. Or you that have gone the way of a prodigal son and daughter. We have all one thing in common. The treasure that's hidden in the field. Is ours. Because God has been merciful and kind and forgiven us our many sins. Some of the sins that God has forgiven us, they have been very serious. But yet, as the writer to the Proverbs, I don't exactly remember word for word, but he paints a picture of how our Lord looks down from the heaven and he sees us. He sees his own creation. And he sees the children of God as these little flickering candles going from place to place. Here in the United States, in Germany, Togo, there are these lights. The growth of the kingdom of God and God's calling, it remains a mystery to us. We don't know who God will call into his kingdom. In our text, he called his disciples to follow him. These were not learned individuals that knew the law of Moses by heart. They were very simple people. The most common line of work of the disciples of Jesus was fishing. They were fishermen. And in that time, it was a very basic, but a very necessary line of work. There were many, many fishermen, especially in the time of Jesus. I think that we can compare the fishermen of that time to the people that are in trades today. Many of you that are in God's kingdom, you are working in the trades one way or another. And if you don't, you certainly know one that does. Many of those have been brought to this place to speak of the Word of God. The Word of God is spoken by very simple people. Not only from this place, but when you get home and you wish to teach your children about the kingdom of God, are you not faced with this thought of limited understanding of the Word of God? But to the best of your ability, you wish to teach them right from wrong in your very simple way. Many times those simple ways are the most easiest ways to understand to our limited minds. Jesus awakened the faith of many people in his time. The Bible doesn't say that those people that were the followers of Jesus, that they called themselves to be the followers of Jesus. The Bible says that God opens the heart. God is the one that calls. His creation into his kingdom. There is a portion in one of the Gospels, I believe it's called the wedding feast, where Jesus is presenting this picture to those around him of a king that was going to celebrate a wedding. And many people were sent an invitation to take part of this wedding. And most of them had excuses as to why they couldn't come. And the heart of the king became very sorrowful. But the wedding was going to take place. And the king looked around the room. And he saw that there was one person that did not have wedding clothes on. He was not wearing the robe of righteousness. It was a garment that was not washed with the blood of the Lamb. It was dirty. And the king asked this person, that how did you come in? How come you don't have wedding clothes on? He was inviting himself into the kingdom of God and did not take part of the blood drops of Christ that were shed even on his behalf. We don't know exactly why. Maybe it was pride. Maybe it was some sin that was weighing on his conscience that he was not able to put away. Maybe there was something in the world that he loved more than he loved God. Whatever it was, he was not acceptable before the king. There would have been a very simple way to become, for him to be acceptable. And it would have been to humble himself and believe that his sins are forgiven. But the harsh reality of that wedding feast, we can find towards the end of that parable, where Jesus says, or where this king says, that bind him hand and foot and throw him into the fire. This is what will happen to those that are not found in God's kingdom when the last day is upon us. This is a very vivid and clear reminder to us that are believing today how important it is to remain in God's kingdom. These people that Jesus called to follow him, Jesus simply said to follow me. It doesn't say that he explained in any other way or in great detail, but it simply says, follow me. I believe, I don't know if it is recorded I can't find it. But how Jesus speaks to them in very simple ways. And the message and the information that we gather from the two words, follow me, it's very simple. But it contains more than just walking behind where Jesus walks. It means that we need to learn what he says and what he does. Jesus also says that, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He is our teacher. That's why it is important that we would read the Bible, to read what Jesus did, what he said, how he acted, because he is asking us to learn from him and to follow him. In our congregation, and in every congregation, there are many that have duties in the kingdom of God. And when you have been approached, maybe asking for a service from you to help other children of God, in our congregation, I think our immediate response, our first response, is that we begin to search if we are fitting or good enough for that certain task. And I certainly remember that when I was asked to serve. It is so that we believe that there are others that can do the task that you are asked to do better. Maybe they have more wisdom, more understanding, maybe better gifts. But it is so that, and I have to tell myself this more than you have to tell yourself, God will help because He has promised to help. And we need to remind ourselves of this time and time again. So we are, in essence, we have two options. We can follow our own mind, which is not very dependable, as I'm sure we all have learned through the years. Or we can humble our minds, which is not easy, to this simple message, follow me. It is so simple, and we try to live of this every day. Not just when we come to church, but they're at home. Follow me and learn from me. But as we all know, it's difficult. And when we think of it in that kind of a way, we realize how many times we have fallen short. Then we realize that God is a rich God. He is merciful. He is all-knowing. He knows, and He can see that little bit of faith that you don't feel that you have. God can see it. And He is reaching over to us with His hand full of grace, forgiving us time and time again when we have fallen. and that little bit of faith that was found, all of a sudden, it makes the biggest difference in the world. Your sins are no longer remembered. Maybe you have heard how our sins had been thrown into the sea that has no bottom. And if we would paint, when we think of the bottomless sea of mercy, that's where we even sing in one of the songs, the crystal clear sea of mercy. Why is it crystal clear? It's clear because our sins have been washed away with the blood of the Lamb. The person that was found at the wedding feast, his clothes were not clear. They were not clean. They were not pure. So if we would visualize this crystal clear sea of mercy before our eyes, we don't see the bottom. We don't see the place where all the sin has fallen and continues to fall because it has no bottom. We need the encouragement from God that when we have put sins away, that God does not remember them anymore. And if God doesn't remember anymore, who are we to remember them anymore? At the very end of our text, it says that, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is a picture that we have sometimes heard of, the Jacob's ladder, how the angels of God are walking up to heaven from the earth. And how the angels of God from heaven are walking down to the earth on these steps on the ladder. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is this ladder. He has connected the earth with heaven by living an innocent and pure life while He was here, the 30-some years. He connected the earth to heaven by dying, by being resurrected from the dead, and being alive again. He won victory over death And that is why we can be believing today. Jesus atoned the sins of all mankind. But only those who wish to believe. That doesn't mean that God looks through his fingers to sin. And we know, even you little boys and girls, you know God hates sin. God does not like sin at all. But the person that sins, God loves that person because it was God's creation. But he hates the sin that they do. That is why we come here to services. That's why we, there at home, in workplaces, in school, sometimes we need to ask our sins forgiven because it bothers our conscience. Not everyone goes from services to a home where everyone is believing. We don't think of this very often. You have been given a great gift from God if you do. But that doesn't mean that God has forgotten you that don't. Because God sees also you. God doesn't forget anyone. And as we prayed in our opening prayer, God knows our situation in life. He knows everything that you are dealing with. And most and foremost, message from God to you, to all of us, is to remain believing. And if you have something on your conscience that you are battling with, or if your cross seems so heavy to carry, maybe so many things has happened in your life, you wonder how you're going to move forward. God has not forgotten you. He doesn't forget anyone that wants to believe. So this morning, dear brother and dear sister, you that are in great difficulty, you that have fallen into sin, I think that means all of us that are here. Believe even your latest sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood, all your sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And imagine when you have believed your sins forgiven, there is nothing between you and heaven. Your soul will live forever with God in heaven. When we read these accounts in the Bible of the people that Jesus called, they didn't know everything that was going to happen to them. But they were, many times, they were encouraged and uplifted in faith by the stories that Jesus told them. They needed to hear that. This Philip in our text, he was there when Jesus fed 5,000 men, their wives, and their children. Philip was there, and he saw the miracle that happened. Jesus asked, if I remember right, he asked Philip at that time, when everyone was gathered there, thousands of people, and they were getting hungry. And Jesus asked Philip to test him. I think the Bible says to prove him. And he says, where are we going to get food from for all these people? And Philip said that there is only 200 pennies or pens. And that's not enough to feed all these people. We can only get so much bread for 200 pennies. And there are maybe 10,000 people there. But then, wonder if it was... Yeah, I don't remember who it was. But he said that there is a lad there who has something. And then Jesus did the miracle of how everyone was able to believe. And the crumbs that were left over, many basketfuls of crumbs. This little bit was much in the hand of God. And Philip and Andrew and Simon and everyone else, they needed to see this. They needed to be uplifted and reminded what kind of God is on their side. A God who will help them through the time of difficulties, in time of need. This is the kind of God that we have. He knows that there are times when we need to be uplifted in faith and reminded of this treasure that we own. And most importantly, we need to be reminded that we are pardoned sinners in the kingdom of God, where God forgives everyone who wish to believe. Believe, all your sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. And I have spoken of how important it is to be reminded of this. And I feel like I need to be reminded of this more than anyone else. Can I believe yet all my sins and doubts forgiven? In Jesus' name, amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we have been able to be around your undying word for a short moment. And for this and the many other things that we do not realize, the blessings that you have granted into our lives, we wish to thank you for that. We pray unto you, dear Father, that you would call those yet who are in the darkness, they're in unbelief. Lead and guide them into peace, where peace is found, where true joy is found. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.